yesterday will likely go down as one of Governor Rick Snyder's more memorable days in office. For about 3 hours, attorneys representing influential Michigan labor unions and others had a chance to question the governor under oath about events leading up to his July decision to authorize bankruptcy for the city of Detroit. Now, the media was prohibited from covering the session itself, which took place at the governor's executive office in the Romney Building in downtown Lansing. Still, the Michigan Public Radio Network's Jake Neer spoke with some participants after the deposition. He's been reporting on this here this morning on WKAR, and he joins us now. Give us a little bit more background, please, Jake. What triggered this deposition in the first place?
Well, right now, federal bankruptcy judge Stephen Rhodes is looking into whether or not Detroit was actually eligible to file for Chapter 9 bankruptcy. And one of the big questions, and this is something that unions have claimed, is that the question is whether or not Governor Snyder and the emergency manager that he appointed, Kevin Orr, negotiated in good faith with unions before they filed for bankruptcy. And that's very important. If there was no good faith negotiations, the judge could use that as ground for, it's just basically saying that Detroit's not eligible for this bankruptcy filing.
Now, will the actual questions and answers from yesterday's session be made public at some point? You and the media were barred from the actual session.
Not only that, we were standing outside of the Romney Building in the, yesterday wasn't that cold, but for hours waiting for someone to peek their head out. We ended up only speaking with a union attorney, it seemed to me, and I also spoke earlier with Governor Snyder's press secretary, who said they want to make this public. Governor Snyder seems like he was willing to participate in this, and that he, what he's saying publicly is he had nothing to hide, and he wants these transcripts to be released. We should probably see those tomorrow, probably at the earliest, is what the governor's office said yesterday.
And you ended up speaking with Sharon Levine. Ms. Levine's an attorney for AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, who put some questions to Governor Snyder. What did she share with you, Jake?
Well, of course, she said that she was very happy that the governor participated in this. It's so rare for a governor. There's questions as to whether or not any sitting governor has ever been deposed in a legal matter before.
Yes.
And so this is very rare. She recognized that. She brought up, of course, the good faith negotiations, and that was a big deal. But the other thing that she was talking about is this question about whether or not retirees are going to get their pensions. Here's what she had to say about that.
We were hoping to learn more about what the governor's view was, what was going to happen to the retirees after the Chapter 9, and whether or not he was having conversations with Kevin Orr with regard to what would happen to the retirees after the Chapter 9. And it looks like that's all very much still in flux and there isn't a solution yet.
So she says she didn't get that answer. She says that she's still not convinced after the deposition, after 3 hours of questioning, that the governor, did act in good faith and negotiate in good faith with unions, along with emergency manager Kevin Orr that she mentioned in that clip. But we're only getting the union side of what happened in that room, so you have to take it with a little grain of salt. It'll be interesting to see what actually comes out when the deposition, and if the deposition is actually released to the public.
But these sessions are over. I mean, there's not going to be another one of these sessions, is there?
As far as I know, there's no plans at this point to have another deposition, and it seems to me like this is probably this was their opportunity to put their questions in to Governor Snyder, who was under oath.
And again, was the governor legally obligated to depose himself? I take it the answer to that is no.
Well, it's interesting. I know that the Attorney General Bill Schuette, argued to Judge Stephen Rhodes that he wanted to apply executive privilege and make it so that the governor would not have to do it. But I believe that the court order made it so that it would be tough for the governor not to go in and actually answer these questions. Another issue too that came up is that Sharon Levine and other attorneys Industries with AFSCME said that the governor also claimed attorney-client privilege in a lot of these questions, in response to a lot of these questions, and did not answer them on that ground. Hmm. And one of the things that was sort of an interesting question is whether or not you know, they thought that that was an okay response, because I think that what the when it comes to the governor's selection of Kevin Orr as the emergency manager of Detroit, which was a big question during these, you know, the lead up to this bankruptcy filing, they're saying that the governor was in the room with Kevin Orr and Kevin Orr's attorney, and because of that, he can claim executive or he can claim attorney-client privilege.
I see.
So there's a kind of a legal ambiguity here. I think there's some questions as to whether or not that was kosher, I suppose. But you know, it'll, again, this is just coming from the union attorneys. We'll see, you know, again, what actually comes out when this is explored a little bit further and the court case moves forward.
Do you get the feeling that the attorneys were expecting to get something of greater value out of Governor Snyder? It sounds as if they were hopeful of more.
The funny thing afterward, as we were standing outside, again, us reporters waiting for someone to come out, was just if unions did expect Governor Snyder to say something that really, you know, turned on a light switch or, you know, proved one of their points or anything like that, we were just saying, you know, we know what kind of treatment us reporters get from the governor. I have the feeling they're getting the Snyder treatment themselves up there in that room. And he is very, very careful. I mean, he is one of the most – of all the politicians I've covered, he is very careful with his words. He knows what he wants to say. He's – and honestly, you know, he just is not known for making news when he doesn't want to make news.
Well, Rich Studley of the State Chamber of Commerce was quoted in the newspaper the other yesterday, I do believe, Chad Livengood's story in the Detroit News, pointing out that the governor's not only a CPA, but he's got a law degree as well. So he's pretty savvy with the ins and outs of the legal system as well.
That's absolutely true.
So yeah. What's the future of this here, Jake?
Well, I think going forward, again, the big decision here for Judge Stephen Rhodes in this federal bankruptcy case is whether or not you know, Detroit was eligible to file for Chapter 9. And so the hearings will begin at some point. I'm honestly not 100% sure when those are supposed to start, but soon, I believe. From there, I mean, that's really the big first step as to, you know, getting this moving forward.
One of your recent stories, as it appeared on the WKAR website, enjoyed a few fleeting moments of national fame on Tuesday night when it flashed up on the screen during a segment of the Colbert Report. This was a story you wrote involving medical marijuana. Let's listen to that segment.
It's not enough that pot is no longer bad for us. The dope pushers are now trying to tell us it's the solution for all our fiscal problems, like the Michigan state lawmaker who's proposing to legalize and tax marijuana to boost funding for road repair in a plan supporters call pot for potholes. Yeah, maybe that would work, but once they fix every pothole, what do you think they'll legalize to fix every crack? We'll be right back.
And we should point out that during half of that segment, at least, the visual on the screen was the WKAR website and the story that was really attributed to you on the pot for pothole story, which goes back to September, last month.
Right.
Was that State Rep Mike Calton?
That's correct.
Yeah.
In fact, there's some questions as to whether or not Representative Calton was the one that actually coined the term pot for potholes. I believe Representative Frank Foster may have been the one that wasn't you. Well, no, I didn't make up the pot for potholes name. No, I can't take credit for that. But I must say, I'm such a big fan of Stephen Colbert. I have been for a long time. It's not often that I get a little, starstruck or whatever. But you know, him reading my parts of my story on Comedy Central really sort of made me a little bit giddy yesterday.
What was more exciting, getting your first story on NPR or your first story on the Colbert Report?
Man. Both of those things. Yeah, and I just had my first story on NPR not too long ago. last month, I believe, and that was also really, really great. And that was actually my voice reading my own story on national radio there, but. There's something about being, on the Colbert Report that just made me, I don't know, I think all my social media friends are a little bit sick of hearing about it at this point.
You're on a roll.
Well.
Does the pot for potholes idea have legs right now? Have you followed up on that? Do we know?
I have a feeling it's going to be very, I mean, we're talking about legalizing marijuana. That would be a very large, heavy lift, I think, in the legislature. But it has bipartisan support, I will say. I mean, Mike Colton is a Republican, so is Frank Foster. They're the ones that have proposed it. Of course, it's not a bill yet. They haven't actually introduced a bill for pot for potholes yet. But still, I wouldn't expect it to happen anytime soon. But I don't know. I don't know if it would have ever been proposed a couple years ago.
How about that? Jake Neer is a reporter along with Rick Pluta. He shares the duties with Rick at covering the state capitol for the Michigan Public Radio Network. WKAR is an affiliate. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Mark.